Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. The forecast for today, going to be cloudy, a chance for some scattered light showers, and a high around the mid-60s. Kenosha right now, 51 degrees. It's 55 in Burlington, Milwaukee 54, 52 at this hour in Racine. The Racine Civic Center Commission recommending a contract extension between the city and Venue Works to manage both Memorial Hall and the festival site. The current deal up at the end of the year, plus there's an 18-month window that incorporates the possibility of an event center. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk explaining the event center, if it happens, will need an operator, and it is felt that the bidding process for that should be including the Civic Center properties as well.
As we've thought through this process, the belief is that the very best way for efficiencies of scale, economies, to make sure that the facilities don't become competitive one to the other, but that they be used actually symbiotic one to the other, so that they're all managed in unison, would be ultimately, if there's a new multi-purpose event center owned by the city, that it be managed under an umbrella contract that would include all of these facilities.
He said the timing of the event center and the need for a manager plus VenueWorks' expiring contract made an extension more attractive than doing a request for proposal on a short-term deal. Commissioner Jim DeMatthew said that hiring VenueWorks, previously Compass Management, was a night-and-day difference versus the city managing both sites, and he supported the extension.
I can honestly say that I don't feel that at any time have we ever gotten the short stick or the short end of a deal on it from VenueWorks. They've always upheld any agreements. They've gone above and beyond, and they have taken over the facilities here, Memorial Hall and here, and have treated them like they are their own facilities. The employees care about them, keep them up, make improvements, and that's the kind of caretaker you want.
Meanwhile, the recommended 18-month management extension unanimously approved, going to the Common Council for a final decision. The event center, meanwhile, remains in the fact-finding stage. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave announcing that the county has now completed the sale of the Ridgewood Care Center to Altitude Health Services. In fact, the sale closed last Friday. The county board approved the terms of the sale back in May, $10 million for the facility, including $75,000 in capital improvements within 18 months and agreement to operate the facility for at least the next 5 years. Delagrave telling WRJN News the transition from a county-run facility to Altitude proceeded smoothly, and he said that all the Ridgewood employees were offered jobs with Altitude.
Just about everybody signed up with Altitude, so we're you know, that's an indication that they're going to be a great company to work for. No wages were reduced for staff, existing staff.
Meanwhile, he said that the new administrator at Ridgewood has more than 30 years of experience, and he's confident Altitude will continue to make patient care their top priority. He said county staff will discuss the use of proceeds from the sale with the county board as part of the 2018 budgeting process. It was under consideration for a long time, a permanent homeless shelter in the city of Kenosha to replace the INS program that rotated among several churches. And later today, it's the formal opening of the new Shalom Center homeless facility in renovated business space along 39th Avenue. Lynn Bees Carroll, the Shalom Center's executive director, told a committee hearing many, many months ago that a permanent site can really help ease the fears of those who are seeking help, fears of just surviving one more day.
I think when people get their basic needs met, then they can move on to think about what to do next in their life.
The new Shalom Center homeless facility, the former ATC leasing building, it's about 22,000 square feet, includes 9 bedrooms for families, a large commons area for up to 20 portable beds, housing capability for up to 80 in that 24/7 shelter. To this point, the Shalom Center has been running an emergency family shelter above its soup kitchen, which also moved to the new location, though the food pantry and warehouse are still on South Sheridan Road. The INS program, well, that's coming to an end with the new homeless shelters opening today. And an Illinois company is going to be operating a Milwaukee streetcar system. Transdev Services Incorporated won the contract based in part on operating similar systems in Cincinnati, Detroit, and New Orleans. Milwaukee officials say there were 5 finalists for that $3.6 million contract. The streetcar service, scheduled to begin late next year with an initial almost 4-mile loop through downtown, ridership projected at just under 2,000 per day. 3 Kenosha men scheduled to appear in Racine County Circuit Court this afternoon for allegedly trying to steal scrap metal from a business in the town of Dover early yesterday morning. It was about 2:30 a.m. that a deputy patrolling the Grandview Business Park spotted an occupied vehicle parked between the scrap metal containers at the Racine Metal Fab Company on Grandview Parkway. A news release from the sheriff's office says the deputy made contact with those occupants of the vehicle, but that car sped away. It was stopped a short time later by another deputy who was in the area, and scrap metal was found inside the vehicle. Three men, 37-year-old Jeremy, 34-year-old Timothy DeBartolo, and 34-year-old Eric Pelt, arrested on theft charges. They've been held in the county jail since. Ordinances are enacted for a variety of reasons. One that has been on the books in the city of Kenosha for many, many years, prohibiting the touching of patrons in establishments with cabaret licenses, amended last night by the city council. Alderman John Fox sponsoring the change, noting that an event was shut down recently due to a salsa dance instructor coming in contact with patrons while they were dancing.
It's kind of antiquated. It reaches back to the days where we had strip clubs. All ordinances would be covering anything else that would come up. This would just allow the instructor to touch the patrons.
Change was approved unanimously. Like Racine, Caledonia, and all the other communities in southeast Wisconsin, the city of Milwaukee set to change its rules on where sex offenders can live to avoid having to pay out large legal settlements from court challenges to what have been deemed residency limits that are too restrictive. City and its 19 suburbs have local ordinances that outlaw sex offenders from living near parks and schools, but a similar ban in Pleasant Prairie was ruled illegal by a judge. The Milwaukee City Attorney's Office warned common council members that keeping the current rule on the books opens the city to having to pay out big settlements if it loses a lawsuit from homeless sex offenders. Council members expect Mayor Tom Barrett will approve that change. The Root Pike Watershed Initiative Network announcing its Wind Point Watershed Restoration Plan has been approved by the Environmental Protection Agency under its 9 key element standards. We get details from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
In a statement, Root Pike Wind President Mike Luba says, quote, "The plan is a great step for the watershed as it allows for more funding of projects that will have a positive effect on water quality and reduce the impact of flooding events." According to a news release, 26 projects are already in preliminary discussion with stakeholders. 8 projects are in the planning stage, 1 is in construction, and 2 have already been completed. The Wind Point Watershed is located on the east side of Racine County, from the northeast side of the city of Racine, around the village of Wind Point, and north to the city of South Milwaukee. The plan's project recommendations include reestablishment of wetlands, improvements to detention basins, ravine restorations, and agricultural and homeowner best practices. The plan also includes recommendations for the monitoring of habitat, water quality, and social monitoring. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Speaking of water, some old docks and pilings along Racine's Root River by the Machinery Row site targeted for removal due to their danger and liability to boaters in the city, which is legal owner of the related property. During this week's council meeting, Mayor Dennis Weiser responded to the only concern raised on the issue, use of intergovernmental funding without finance committee backing and or the redevelopment authority having a say.
I don't think it would be appropriate for RDA to act on that because as far as I know, and Director O'Connor, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the promenade, and I believe the promenade is city property, not RDA property, so the RDA would not have a say on that. With respect to this going to the Finance and Personnel Committee, I would simply state that there are many things in public works that do not go through Finance and Personnel.
Council vote was unanimous for almost $192,000 to be used from the IG fund toward the work and that the city purchasing agent negotiate with Vite and Company to do that work. Resolution language includes the fact that not all pilings can be removed with the extraction method. One of the key components to the state legislature approving budget legislation affecting Racine Unified, the employee handbook. The district has to approve it's compliant with provisions of Act 10. Next Monday night at 6 o'clock, a special board meeting has been scheduled to try and deal with the revised handbook. Joint Finance Committee last week approving a one-year delay in creating an Opportunity Schools in Partnership program to allow RUSD time for a better report card than last year, which triggered all of this in Madison. Those grades will be coming out in late October or early November. As for the handbook, Racine Unified's Board of Adjustments, that has been one of the concerns raised by lawmakers regarding Act 10 compliance. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section of it. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.